Love you. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Matthew. I'd like you to go to the 6th chapter. So that's going to be the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. I bring you greetings from my wife who sends her regret that she was not able to be here. But she sends her best. I'm glad to be here. Glad to have made it safely and to arrive and get started. What an exciting thing to hear from the country of Greenland. Who's ever been there before? Whoa, 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 wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That doesn't happen a lot, Mr. Gilbert. That's amazing. One of the things I remember is Iceland isn't covered in ice and Greenland isn't green. It's a good way to keep those straight. We're going to learn a lot this week. We're going to learn about different places where God wants the gospel brought and he's assembled laborers to go. And we praise the Lord that we can be together to do this. Matthew chapter 6 is where I'm going to preach from tonight, if the Lord, with the Lord's help. I want you to know that each night, I realize this is a school week, it's a work week, there are things that you have to do, and you're fitting this in. And I'll respect that. I'll respect your time if you get here. I promise to get you out well before midnight. Promise. The Waffle House won't be closed when you leave. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19 is where I'd like to start. But I can't really start in 19, though I said I should. I can't because Matthew 6 is the middle of a sermon. It's kind of like you walk into church and the preacher's already preaching and he's halfway through his message and you're trying to figure out what is he saying. Well, Matthew 5 is really where the sermon started. And it goes through 6 and 7. You say, 3 chapters for a sermon. Not near as long as I'll keep you tonight. And in this sermon, he's going to call out a group of religious people who are hypocrites. Now, what is a hypocrite? Well, a hypocrite is somebody who puts a mask on and pretends to be somebody else. Y'all know any hypocrites? Please don't point. Just keep that to yourself. But it happens, doesn't it? Say, well, the world says, the church is filled with hypocrites. I don't know a better place to put hypocrites than in the sound preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And yes, the church has hypocrites. So does the grocery store. Amen. So does the mall. There are hypocrites everywhere. In fact, the very word comes from the idea of as an actor would wear a mask. That's what it comes from. And in Matthew 6, in the middle of his sermon, he's going to call out this group of people for their hypocrisy in 3 areas of their life. Chapter 6, verse 1. Actually, 1 through 4. He's going to call them out for hypocrisy when they give. Now, you know, page 13 where you're supposed to write stuff down? Maybe just write the word something at the top. Because that way, if somebody says, did you write something down in your book? You say, yes, I wrote the word something. Yeah. Oh, come on, I'm trying to give some help here. All right, here's the 3 areas that Christ called out the hypocrites. Number 1, they were hypocrites in their giving. That's chapter 6, 1 through 4. In chapter 6, verse 5, he calls them out for being hypocrites in their prayer life. In chapter 6, verse 16, he calls them out for being hypocrites in their fasting life. You say, what's a fasting life? That's where you don't eat, which is really not popular in this church. Every single thing in that schedule was wrapped around food. And you know what? I love that. But fasting is where we do without food to call God's attention to our plight. And he said, a little free translation from the Southern Greek, all y'all have been hypocrites in your giving, hypocrites in your praying, and hypocrites in your fasting. And then we get to verse 19, And he says, now, after I told you all those things, here is what's important to me. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Who's the smartest person in the youth group? You are. Okay. He's not pointing to you. Who are you pointing to? Emily? You're not. Who is? Emily is. Oh, we're going to go with you until you prove otherwise. Emily, I want you to think about what the word treasure means. You know, like a mama will hold a baby and she's, oh yeah, what a precious treasure. Probably didn't happen with John also. Where's John also? Yeah, probably didn't happen with you. But a treasure, something is a treasure, okay? I'm not going to ask you quite yet, but I'm giving you time to think. This is grace and compassion for me, because usually I'll just pound on you first off. What's the answer? But it's a little compassion, a little mercy tonight, okay? Treasure. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Where is earth? Guy, first row, what's your name? Ricky? Ricky. Where is earth? This is not a trick question. Just say here. Here. Very good. Emily, there's hope for you, dear. Here we go. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where rust, where moth. What's a moth? It's an insect that eats fabric. Where moth and rust, that's oxidation that takes place on metal. Rust doth corrupt. And what else? Where thieves do not break through, where thieves break through and steal. Okay, so in this verse, there is something called a treasure. And I can put it in one place. In the next verse, I'm going to read the word treasure again, and then I'm going to ask you. This is my sympathy and empathy thing. It's not going to last long, but it's here. In the next verse, it says, verse 20, but lay up. First verse that we read said, don't lay up. Now this verse says, lay up. Lay up what? There's that word. Emily's going to explain it to us in a minute. Ask the Google. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust, where neither, my eyes are going from 19 to 20 back and forth, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. So, where are the two places? What's your name? Shelby? I live in Kings Mountain. The town next to Kings Mountain is Shelby. It's where I go to church. So I'll remember your name. Shelby. She's smart too. Okay. Then here's the tough question. With no preparation, where are the two places I can put treasure? According to these verses. I read the verse before. Oh. Do you know the two places you can put treasures? Struggle bus. I can put treasures where? Heaven and earth. Right. That's 10 for the guys and nothing for the girls. Sorry, but you're going to have to pay attention. Emily, what does the word treasure mean? Things that we cherish. That's one for the girls, 12 for the guys. Here we go. Amen. A man or a woman treasure something when you know they would change their plans or spend money to get it? Do I have any grandparents in the room? You are not a grandparent. You're in the youth group. The two things don't go together. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Grandparents. Nobody in this row. Grandparent, where do your grandchildren live? Two in Newport News, one in Williamsburg. Okay. Does anybody have any grandchildren live far off? Where do your grandchildren live? They don't like each other, do they? They're not getting along. One in California, one in Texas. You ever go there? Never. You make them come this way. I'm in a tough crowd tonight. They just moved there. Okay, all right. And where do your grandchildren live? Oh, yeah. Well, the traffic between here and Surrey and the traffic between Phoenix are probably quicker to get to Phoenix. It's okay. My point was going to be 25 minutes ago when I was trying to find the right person to use in this illustration was this, is that sometimes grandparents will stop their lives to go anywhere where their grandbabies are. Amen. To see their kid stand up and sing in a children's choir or whatever, and they'll say, oh, that's a voice of an angel. He's got a voice a mother could love. That's what he's got. Why do grandparents do that? They treasure their grandkids, something we cherish, which, by the way, Emily, was a very good answer. Not nearly as strong as showing up with heaven and earth, but it's at least a point. I am supposed to cherish things, but they are to be the right things. If I cherish stuff here, I can expect to lose it. If I cherish stuff there, I can expect to keep it. Missions is about figuring out what's the right stuff to cherish. Do I have any siblings? That word means brothers, sisters, sisters, brothers, brothers. In the room. Your sibling is in the room. Okay, Lily, come help me. And who's Lily's sister? Of course you are. You raise your hand for everything. Brother. Brayden? What is your name? Devin, come help me. And Lily, come here, both. I'm on the clock. I'm union. I get done in 5 minutes. Okay, how old are you, Lily?
I'm 17.
17, first day on your new feet there? I saw you trip on the way through.
No.
Devin, how old are you?
12.
Do you know her? Yeah, yeah, kinda. Where's mom? Just hang in there with me, mom. I'm pulling for you. Okay? We're gonna make this. Lily, will you hold Devin's hand? Won't be long. Mom, you wanna get the camera out now? Might be the only time you ever see this. Okay, just hang in there with me. We're gonna be done soon. Verse 21 says, Brother Lewis, where are you? Brother Lewis, read verse 21 in English. Don't do this pigeon stuff in here now. Read it with like a boy preacher voice thing, loud, whatever. I want to hear you is what I'm saying, because I can't find my Bible, and so you're going to read it.
Okay, verse 21.
Yes.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Whoa. Where your treasure is, what you cherish, what's going to happen? Your heart will be there too. So, why don't you be treasure? And you be heart. Okay? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So treasure, head to pastor. Okay, stop. Look at that. Heart went with treasure. Well, treasure, come back here. Look at that. Everywhere treasure goes. Are we Facebooking live now? What are we doing here? This is just for later. Okay, I got to behave now. My wife might be watching. All right. Treasure. Definition. It is what I cherish. Heaven and earth. This is me driving the struggle bus. Oh, wait, no, you take over now. Here we go. Heart will always follow treasure. So when you start cherishing the wrong things, your heart is going to be in the wrong place. So when you start with, my heart is not just in missions, I am going to tell you, you're cherishing, treasuring the wrong things. You say, my heart's just not in church anymore. And I'm going to tell you, you are treasuring the wrong things. You say, my heart's not just in my marriage anymore. I'm going to tell you, you're cherishing the wrong things. My heart is not in my Bible reading anymore. You're cherishing the wrong things. My heart just isn't in this anymore. You're treasuring the wrong things. Why? Because heart always follows treasure. And he said, don't treasure the wrong things, because it'll mess up your heart every time. So when I hear a teenager, of which you are, and of which you're not, and don't pull off this almost thing. When the numeral of your age ends with a teen, that's when you can say it. There's no 12 teen. So when a teenager tells me, oh, my heart's just not in church, it's because you're cherishing the wrong things. And when mom and dad say, well, I'm just not into the whole church thing anymore. I'm just not into missions anymore. I'm just not into living for Christ anymore. It's because you're cherishing the wrong things and your kids are watching you. So where do the kids get it from today? You. You guys were spectacular. I almost want to make you just stand here the whole time. And just hold hands. When was the last time you held hands with your sister?
I don't remember.
Mom, did you get a picture? This touched your heart, didn't it? You're just saying, no, I'm just glad my kids didn't mess up in front of the whole church. Right, Mom? Yeah, if they're not fighting, you're good. Well, see, they're holding hands. Well, I didn't say they wasn't squeezing. I just said they're holding hands. Here's where I want you to be tonight. This is just introduction, okay? I'm just going to open the door to what I want to talk about. I'm just speaking the truth in love. Here we go. If we're not careful in our Christian walk, when we get to something like missions, and we say our heart's not in it, it's because we're treasuring the wrong things. Y'all can be seated. And if you want to hold hands still, it's good. What does God treasure? Huh? Oh, now wait. Let's go back to this nurse lady. You want to video the illustration, but not the preaching? Fine. Okay. Put it up. It's fine. I'm just kidding. When I see 19 through 21, my question is going to be this. What is it that God cherishes? What did we say it was? Something for which you change your plans, or something for which you would spend money. And if I'm treasuring or cherishing the wrong things, my heart will be in the wrong place. But if I can figure out what it is that God cherishes, and I make that my priority list, my heart will never be in the wrong place as long as I cherish what He cherishes. So I ask you, what is it that God has given money for or changed His plans? Go with me to Matthew 16. Just 10 chapters over. Matthew 16. Verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Okay, Shelby. I'm just going to give you a little redemption time here. Heaven and earth. When I read the verse I just read, that one. Yeah. When I read that verse, it asks the question, what can I give of myself to get to heaven? What can I do? What can I give? What can I buy? What can I sell? What gets me to accept Christ in your heart? There's nothing you can give for your own soul. Good save. That's like 4 points more for the girls. So 25 for the guys. And so if I evaluated on the scale of cost of what does things cost for which Christ would pay, what was the only thing that could be given in exchange for a man's soul? And Shelby said it, Christ. It's to accept Jesus in your heart. That's what Shelby said. That's what Christ values. You want to make sure you're cherishing the right stuff? Number one. If you're going to write things on page 13, this would be the first thing to write down. If you've not written the word something on the page, this would be the second thing that you're going to write down. What is it that He cherishes? Number one, He cherishes souls. Go with me now, souls. It's not heart. S-O-U-L-S. Shelby. Go with me to Ephesians, and I'll show you the second thing that Christ cherishes. So go past Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and go to the fifth chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. What does God cherish? Number one, He cherishes souls. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25, you have your place. Husbands, now you remember from marriage counseling classes, that's a boy verse. Girls don't focus on the boy verses. Girls focus on the girl verses. Boys focus on the boys verses. Okay. Husbands, love your wives. And it was women saying amen. I hear you. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Watch these words now. And gave himself for it. What does Christ love? What does God cherish? Number one, he cherishes souls. But number two, he loves his church so much, he gave his son for it. How do you know someone's cherishing something? By what you do and what you spend. What did he spend? The life of his son. So you say, well, what's the point, Brother O'Malley? It's real simple. If you want to make sure you're cherishing the stuff that God cherishes, you will love souls. You will love his church. One more thing. Go back to Matthew 6. You remember the section I told you about that Christ was calling them out for their hypocrisy? And one of the areas, although I gave you three areas that he called them out for being hypocrites. Brother Gilbert, did you write those down? You did. Let's hear it. I was going to ask Shelby, but I want to give you a chance.
Hypocrites in your giving, hypocrite in praying, and hypocrite in fasting.
Those were the three areas. You say, well, do you think God really cherishes our giving? I do. Verse 1. Take heed, means watch out, beware. Take heed that you do not your alms, what's an alm? When I give. That you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Show off givers. Okay, this is an offering plate. It has cash in it. I'm going to take a $5 bill out for by way of illustration. I will return a $5 bill by way of illustration when it's done. Have you ever seen showy givers? Pastor, I'd like to donate this money anonymously. Or, usher, or the classic, I'm in the foyer, I'm a guest of the church, and the person said, I didn't get a chance to put this in the offering plate, would you put it in for me? God bless your little naughty heart. $5 back. God cherishes non-hypocritical giving. Follow verse 1. To be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward. Wait a minute, we said if you cherish something, it's something for which you spend money. You give something for it. God rewards our giving, but he doesn't reward hypocritical giving. God cherishes our giving. Verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, what's alms when I give? When thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet. I'm giving now. That's what they did. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You got what you're coming to if you're going to brag on your own giving. 3, when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Evan, how do you think about that? How do you do something that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand does? That's a ninja giver. I mean, it's, did you see me give? No, I mean, it's, there it is. He's saying, do it so secretly that you're not showing off. Why? 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. God cherishes giving when we do it without hypocrisy. Move you to the last one. You can just write it down. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? A rewarder. We know you cherish something by what you'll give a reward for. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does God reward? Faith. Put this all together now. When we talk to you about a missions conference, we're talking about grace giving. What are we talking about? Us getting behind people like the Gilberts and saying to them, go in our name for the glory of Christ and bring the gospel to Greenland. And when I do that, it brings together the four things Christ cherishes. He cherishes souls. He cherishes his church. He cherishes giving. And he cherishes faith. What are we doing here? We're saying, God being our helper, we'll support the missionaries that we have. 57 missionary families listed on that in that booklet. And we'll say, okay, we got some more who need support. And the four things that come together, when I cherish missions, I am cherishing the things God cherishes. I am cherishing his church, and I am cherishing souls, and I am cherishing faith, and I am cherishing giving without hypocrisy. Heart always follows treasure. See, my heart's not in this missions conference. You're cherishing something. Would you stand with me? Your Father, this evening from your word, I attempted to show with the help of these young people what your word said. Forgive us, God, where we've allowed our heart and our treasure to get out of whack. Help us, God, to treasure what you treasure. This church, the souls of men, faith, and giving. Father, may we look close at our hearts and look at where you want us to be and evaluate where we are, and may we do what's right. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I ask you something. No one's looking around. It's me and the preacher. That's it. I wonder who is here tonight would say, Brother O'Malley, will you pray for me that I'll keep my treasure on the things of God. Just by upraised hand, would you pray for me that I'll do that? Several of you, yes. Boy, I'm glad to see that. Good. Let's pray together. Father, these who raised their hands just in this moment of saying that they want to treasure what you treasure, help us, God, to get the order right. That we always treasure the souls of men because you do. And we always treasure the church because you do. And we always treasure genuine giving. And that we always cherish faith. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.